on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Dr. Dana Varble, Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community. You have two or three?
I just have two, but, you know, if we're looking at it on a pound basis, I might win over a lot of people.
Right,
because I have two giants, but, you know, there's just two of them.
And what is the poundage on those two?
Well, we're very proud of Cody. Cody is our Leonberger. He has gone from 130 pounds to 120 recently, so we're very proud of him. So he's about 120. He's actually on the small side for a Leonberger, but a 220-pound dog is plenty.
Yeah.
And then, yep, Denali, our Mastiff mix, usually hangs right around 100. So between the two of them, like I said, on a pound-per-pound basis, probably... Probably ahead a lot of you, but, you know, just the two of them seem to create enough trouble for us.
If you have a question for Dr. Dana Varble, 312-981-7200. I see people calling. There's one person already on the line. My question is, if you are gone all day, should you leave the TV on for your cats and dogs or whatever creature you might have in your house?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about because I've seen this suggestion, and I've actually seen it from some veterinary behaviorists out there. And I will tell you that dogs' vision is a little bit different than ours, so they don't see as many colors. So how much they see on TV, I mean, certainly as our TVs have progressed and the screens have gotten more clear, they probably see more than they used to. But the picture's probably not super clear to them. And some dogs show more interest in, like, a television than others.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. The big thing, though, is a lot of times it creates a little bit of background noise. So whether it's the TV or the radio, what you leave on around the home can help distract your dogs from, like, reacting to other noises. The mailman, the poor UPS driver that seems to be a big problem in our house. Thunder, lightning, and other just small noises don't seem to affect them as much. So it can help dogs just, again, kind of, for lack of a better word, have some comforting noise, background noise. And if you have a dog with anxiety, it can reduce their reactivity because the background noise can cover up the noise that they might otherwise find distressing.
Okay.
So I never think it's a bad idea, actually.
Right,
but
right.
I like the radio on. My dogs don't really watch TV.
I'm all for that. And it is so funny how some dogs really are engaged with the TV and others will not even acknowledge that it's
don't
in the
care.
Room.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. Dennis is from Wakanda. He's got a question about whose dog is barking at you, Dennis?
Well, we lost our dog several months ago, and my wife went to a shelter and got a shelter dog. Every time I walk in the room or come in the house, it barks at me. 2-3 minutes worth of barking. It's loud. Okay?
Yeah.
With her, it's perfectly quiet. But every time I come in the house, question, what do you think of bark collars?
They kill me. But I'll let the doctor answer.
So what's interesting about bark collars is, you know, they can be a good part of an overall training strategy. But you never want to do just a bark collar in isolation. So, again, a bark collar is a negative reinforcement. Sometimes it's a little tiny shock. Sometimes it's a pinch. More oftentimes, sometimes it's just a noise that they don't like to try and, like, disrupt their behavior, disrupt that barking behavior and halt it. What's interesting is that by themselves, they don't stop barking. And I've certainly had some dogs that were just like, no, I need to bark. And I don't care about the noise, the shock, the adverse thing. I have to bark at this. It's my job. I've been conditioned to bark. So I would definitely, maybe it's time to, for you and the dog and your wife to do a little training course, because sometimes when dogs are barking at someone, it could be one of two things. One, they're just conditioned to do it. And it sounds like that's the case. Like, this dog just barks at the same stimulus over and over and over again. Or sometimes they're barking because they're getting something good out of it. So you know, sometimes we have a dog that's barking, our natural reaction is to go over and give them a lot of attention, even if it's yelling at them. But they love it.
They think like, yelling is, you're like, hey, I'm yelling, yeah. He's yelling, we're all yelling, this is good.
Yay! Yes, we're all yelling, let's yell together, let's yell some more. Exactly. And so we can accidentally escalate that behavior. So sometimes the thing to do is actually reward them when they don't. And that's very hard to do, because if they're always barking, how do you capture that moment when they don't bark? And you and your wife can talk, you know, again, sometimes if you're on the phone, you can say, I'm coming in the room, and your wife could do some other things, like do a sit or do a down and do some a whole bunch of treats. And if the dog doesn't bark, say, oh my gosh, good dog, good, good dog, good dog, good dog. Like, go over the top, and maybe, fingers crossed, we can reinforce some non-barking behavior. But that can be a tough habit to break, so good luck.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Dana Varbal is with us, Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community. We're going to talk about algae blooms in ponds and lakes and how toxic they are for your animals, especially your dogs. And is rabies really on the rise? And a few more questions coming in. Thanks. Harry is listening right now. Harry is a Chihuahua. He's on Apoquil. Did I say that? And it just isn't working. Is there something else?
Oh, that's so disappointing. Oh,
yeah.
There are some other similar drugs. Yes, there are. There's an injection called Cytopoint that works better for some patients than others.
That's what I told the texter, because that's what worked for Hank, and it was always grass allergies. Same thing. Yeah.
And you know, the interesting thing about biology is, like, no drug works 100% of the time. I wish they did. It would make my job so much easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you have to try different things. So even though Apoquil works on many, many dogs, you may just have a dog that for whatever reason it's not working on. So you could try a different drug, or you talk to your veterinarian and make sure there's nothing else, like a food allergy or an infection in the skin that could be complicating matters.
Okay. Yeah. Someone is giving coconut oil to their, is it Shiba Inu?
Shiba Inu, yeah.
Oh, okay. They said that she is obsessed with my jar of coconut oil, so I put a little bit on her bone a few times a day, but I'm not sure if this is doing more harm than good.
So for a while, coconut oil was like the cure-all for everything. Yeah. Everything was getting a cure from coconut oil. Skin problems, coconut oil. GI problems, coconut oil. Everything was going to get cured from coconut oil. I mean, the good news is coconut oil doesn't do much harm. It can be a source of extra calories, and they are just, it's an oil, so they're fat calories. So you don't want to use too much of it, and you want to be mindful of your dog's weight. As far as benefits, it mostly seems to taste good.
Yeah.
You know, again, you want to use it very sparingly, though, because, like, with any high-fat treat or dietary supplement, there is a risk of pancreatitis with it.
Mm.
So you do, if you're going to use it, just, I mean, less than, I mean, we're talking quarter teaspoons just to, like, zhuzh up some food or treats if you have a picky eater. But use a lot of caution with it, because that oil is not always good for your pet.
Okay, I've been seeing headlines about rabies on the rise. I don't know if that's just designed to get me to click, but somebody is texting. They said they have a baby possum in the backyard.
Okay.
The roommate doesn't want to call animal control, but then they're afraid maybe it'll get rabies. But then they read an article that said possums cannot get rabies. Let's address the possum question and then rabies overall.
Oh, yes. So two interesting things. One, in Illinois, you need to have a special license to keep any wildlife. So please, please, please call Fish and Wildlife. They will get the opossum to a safe place, to a wildlife rehabber, someone that cares for it. Just because it's wildlife doesn't mean it's automatically going to be put down. We have systems in place to help care for these animals. So that's the good news. Possums are slightly resistant to rabies, because remember that possums are actually marsupials. So their body temperature actually is a lot lower than you would expect. Actually, for possums, I think their normal temperature is in the low 90s. So they're not completely immune to rabies, but let's say rabies doesn't do well in their body. It's not designed to be a good infection for them. Rabies is on the rise in general in the United States in wildlife and in mammals. So certain mammals are more predisposed than others, but we do want to be very careful with rabies, because one of the reasons we have very few rabies deaths in the United States, and this, thank goodness, because it's a terrible virus.
Yeah.
It is 100% fatal without vaccination. So 100%.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. No survivors.
Yeah. So, get them vaccinated.
Yeah. So get your pets vaccinated. If for some reason you think you were exposed, and the way most people are exposed, actually, I think we've talked about this before, bats.
Yes.
Bats carry a lot of rabies. They're very resistant to it. They can sneak in through a broken screen or through a chimney in a fireplace and get in your home. And the bites are very small. So if there's a chance you've handled or been exposed to a bat, please go to your doctor, because the post-exposure vaccinations can absolutely save your life if you are exposed.
Okay.
And we don't really want people to get it.
I do want you to talk about the toxic algae, yeah. But a bunch of people have been waiting on the line. Let's get to Joe first.
Okay.
Joe, give Dr. Varble a quick question about your cat.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We have her name is Miss Kitty. Are you there?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're listening.
Yep.
Okay. And we have tried everything, and she's always cleaning herself, so she's always got hairballs, and it seems mm-hmm. like, and she'll eat her food, and she'll buff it back up, and it's not even, it's
digested.
Still whole.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel like I can picture this in my head. You know, some cats are kind of fastidious groomers, and, you know, they overdo it, which, I mean, I appreciate their effort to stay clean, but especially long-haired cats can really overdo it. It also sounds like maybe this food isn't great for her. So, you know, a couple things you can try. There are some hairball remedies that are basically based around petroleum jelly that can allow the hair on their body to kind of pass through the digestive tract unencumbered, so to speak, and move through a little faster. But I'd also give some thought to maybe trying a different diet, because, you know, even a cat, and they do vomit up hairballs, and that's normal, but they shouldn't be vomiting up food. And, you know, I don't have any specific recommendations because I haven't met you and your cat, but it might be trying to try a different protein source or just a different food that seems to agree with her more, because vomiting up food is not normal.
Yeah.
So I hope you can find something that works for you.
Okay. I only have 30 seconds left, but can you spend that time talking about algae blooms in ponds and lakes?
Yeah, this always comes up in about August, September. It gets really hot. Typically, it starts to dry out this year. And the water in our ponds and lakes gets really still and stagnant. And so naturally, the algae that's there, the bad algae can bloom. And it looks like a foamy sort of surface,
yeah.
Or even sometimes oily on the surface of the water. And it smells like icky, stagnant water. If you see that, please don't let your dog drink or definitely not swim in that water this time of year. Until we get more rainfall and the water starts moving, it's best to stick with lakes and rivers where we're allowed to swim, where your dogs are allowed to swim, that are clear. Because we can see some very toxic and even deadly side effects from some of those algal blooms. So be a little aware of that as we head into fall.
Thank you. You're the best. We appreciate it.